It's time for a little spring cleaning today on The Balanced Word.
To be able to come before God and to say, God, anything that you want to do differently in my life, and especially anything you want to get rid of, I want to get rid of it. See, we have a tendency, when there's space there, we want to fill it. And we have a garage, it needs to be full. And when the garage is full, you know, we need a 3-car garage. And if our life is the Lord's, then we certainly need to be the kind of people who look at it and say, God, is there something here you want me to get rid of? I'm open to spring cleaning, Lord. Will you do that cleaning in my life and in me? Is that something that we could do together?
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hand and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
Every year or so, my wife and I take the time to go through our garage and attempt to clear out the clutter. Some refer to that as spring cleaning. Pastor Dave Rolfe will suggest it's important to have a spring cleaning in our lives every so often too. Maybe there are some things you need to get rid of today that don't fit in with the call of God on your life. Today's Balanced Word will help us with that. So join us in 2 Chronicles chapter 29.
When Hezekiah led the people to clean the house of the Lord out, well, as I was meditating and reflecting on that, and I decided, you know what? It's amazing how often we can accumulate a bunch of stuff that we don't need. So I thought, for the message this morning, I got up this morning and I went through my closet in my bedroom and a drawer in our bathroom. And then I went through the garage very quickly and then through my office just to look for a few things that I think, why do I still have this stuff? What's it doing here? And I brought some of this stuff and I'm going to throw it away as an example to you. I have a trash bag. And these are things that it's like, where did this come from and what's it here for? Here's one thing I found. I found a lot of them. This is just one token one. It's a power cord. You know, when you throw away an appliance, but the power cord's perfectly good, and you think, you know, I can always use that. I can't use 20 or 30 of them. I'm sure that's what. So I'm going to trash that. Oh, here's a Kaiser Permanente insurance card I found. I haven't had Kaiser insurance for a few years, so that's not any good. Here's a key to the batting cages at Calvary Costa Mesa. Not the batting cages they have now, the batting cage that we tore down 5 years ago. Then let's see. Oh, here's a floppy disk that's a driver to some computer I don't have anymore. And remember zip disks? 100 powerful megabytes? Now you can get it on those keychain things. I have a Goldwing motorcycle that I don't ride, and I couldn't bring it in here and fit it in the bag because I ride my other motorcycle. But I'm in this club, the Goldwing Road Riders Association, and every year they send out a gold book that gives the names and addresses of everyone in the club. I've never opened one of these ever, and one of these is from 2000 and the other's from 2002. I don't know why I saved them. This is a little keychain draw poker game. The battery's dead. I'm not going to keep that. Here's one of those watches that has a calculator built into it that the battery's dead on, and I haven't used it in many years. A fake Rolex that I got years ago. Somebody gave it to me, and I've been wanting to go to one of those jewelry stores that for $2,500 they'll give a tune-up on your Rolex. I've just been thinking about taking it in there and then looking shocked when they tell me it's not real. But here's a mug, Richard Reardon for governor. This thing's kind of cool. It's a little plastic box with a suction cup, and you set it down, and it'll start to shake, and it says this.
Can you let me out of here?
Speaking of memory, here's a click drive, 40 megs, brand new in the box. Let's see. Oh, this is one of my favorites. It's Mo of the Three Stooges. And when you hit him, he says some Mo stuff, like,
yeah, I'm ready to ride you.
So, I actually bought these for a friend of mine who's really into the Three Stooges, but Curly didn't work, and I didn't want to give him, you know, so. It's been a few years. This is a wrench I got in my garage. I didn't know what it was, but Todd told me that it's a brake tool. I don't work on brakes. Here's a sprinkler I found in the garage that's all muddy and stuff, so it probably doesn't work, but we kept it. And this is just a token, a couple of remote controls. There are many more where these came from. And how many AC adapters have you kept? You throw the thing away, but you never know when you'll need the AC. I think I'll be okay with one less. Oil filter wrench. Now, two things. I wouldn't have even thrown this away, but I do have two of them. And I haven't touched an oil filter in 20 years. Oh, I like this thing, too. This somebody gave me. It's really nice. It's from Sharper Image. It's a motorized tie rack auto drive. It'll hold 72 neckties on it, and they come around. And, I have like 3 neckties. I only wear them for funerals and weddings. I think I'll be okay without it. Oh, this now. I don't know. I got it at a computer show years ago. Larry said they train dogs with them. Speaking of dogs, I found this little digital doggy, Gigapet. Remember these? The battery's dead on it, but you'd start it and you'd have a dog, and you have to feed him and play with him and take him to the bathroom and everything in order to see how long you can keep him alive. This one died. I'm pretty sure I didn't buy this, by the way. I'm pretty sure somebody gave it to me. Here's a holster to a cell phone that I haven't had for 5 years. Just a lot of interesting junk, huh? By the way, you're welcome to any of that stuff and what you don't take. No, the whole idea isn't for me to dump my junk off on you. The whole point is, how many of us, if we go through our garages and our drawers and our offices and our homes, do we find all kinds of stuff that we really don't need? And we look at it and go, where did this come from? I mean, I'm too busy to sell it on eBay. What do I do with it? And sometimes it's good, it feels good just to dump stuff out, just to get rid of things. And that's what happens in 2 Chronicles chapter 29. And so you can turn over there. On Wednesday nights, we're studying through 2 Chronicles. We'll be finishing it not this Wednesday, but by next Wednesday, I think we'll finish. This Wednesday, we'll be in chapters 29, 30, and 31. But here, Hezekiah becomes king of Judah. And as Hezekiah becomes king, he desires to walk with the Lord, to lead the people in this restoration. He wants to turn things around. He realizes they've been going downhill as a nation. And for him, it's time for spring cleaning. It's time for a fresh start. And so here in chapter 29, beginning with verse 3, it says, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, right when he started, Hezekiah opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. Opened the doors and they were broken. Some of the guys yesterday were working on some of the doors from here. Then he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them in the east square and said to them, hear me, Levites, now sanctify yourselves, clean yourselves up and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers. Get it cleaned up and carry out the rubbish from the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and done evil in the eyes of the Lord our God. They have forsaken him. They've turned their faces away from the dwelling place of the Lord and turned their backs on him. They've shut the doors of the vestibule and put out the lamps and haven't burned incense or offered burnt offerings. They've just been neglecting the place. Therefore, the wrath of the Lord fell upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he has given them up to trouble and desolation and jeering as you see before your very eyes. For indeed, because of this, our fathers have fallen by the sword. Our sons, our daughters, our wives are in captivity. Now, it's in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. My sons, do not be negligent now, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and that you should minister to him and burn incense. Then these Levites arose, and it lists them all. And in verse 15, it says, they gathered their brethren, sanctified themselves, went according to the commandment of the king at the words of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord. Then the priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it and brought out all the debris that they found in the temple of the Lord to the court of the house of the Lord. Now you go, okay, it's cleaning the house of the Lord. What's that about? Okay, we had a work day. We kind of cleaned up the church. But here's the thing. The house of the Lord, it's your life. It's mine. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so the lesson for us and the relevance to us is every once in a while, it's important for us to have a spring cleaning in our lives. to be able to come before God and to say, God, anything that you want to do differently in my life, and especially anything you want to get rid of, I want to get rid of it. See, we have a tendency, when there's space there, we want to fill it. If we're with someone and it's quiet, we feel like we need to fill the silence. And we have a garage, it needs to be full. And when the garage is full, you know, we need a 3-car garage. When the house is packed, let's get a bigger house. It's just the way we are. And we do the same thing with our lives. Is there a spare 20 minutes in here anywhere? Okay, I'll do this. Hey, you got a minute? No, I don't. And that's our life. That's the way it is. And if our life is the Lord's, then we certainly need to be the kind of people who look at it and say, God, is there something here you want me to get rid of? I'm open to spring cleaning, Lord. Will you do that cleaning in my life and in me? Is that something that we could do together? And I'd just like to suggest to you this morning that even as Hezekiah says there in verse 10, it's in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that you and I together could make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, a promise, and say, God, we want to be open to dumping any rubbish, any excess, any extra, and clearing out our lives of everything except what you want to be there. That means everything has to go on the line. You can't say, God, I'll give you everything, but I'm going to keep this stuff. No, you have to go. It's not just like this stuff that, like, if it was missing, I wouldn't even know. Throwing that out's easy. But sometimes there are things that we really treasure that God may say, that's in the way. I want you to get rid of that. So are we willing to make that kind of a commitment? Together, can we say, God, this week, I'm ready to get rid of anything that's in the way of what you want to do in my life. And you need a standard. When we go through the church and clean it up every once in a while, we always try to use some sort of standard. Maybe in your closet, you say, if there are clothes I haven't worn in a year, I'm going to get rid of them. If there's a tool I haven't used in 5 years, I'm going to get rid of it. In the church, often, as we start going through the rooms, it's a problem because invariably, every time we have a work day, we throw stuff away that we think, nobody wants this. And then we find out later somebody did want it. But because that somebody didn't come to the work day, sorry, it's gone. And I generally give free rein to almost anyone who comes to clean up and just go, look, pretty much anything here is up for grabs. Get it out of here. You know, and sometimes in our lives, it would be wise to be like that. But here in verse 11, I see a list of some suggestions that might help you and might help me what might be a candidate for being cleaned out of our lives. And the way that we see that is we see what God wants in our lives. He reminds the Levites, who were priests, of the calling that God had on their life. And we are called priests of God as well. And so he'll be speaking to us. And I pray that during this service that God will speak to you about some things you can get rid of, some things, some events, some commitments, whatever it is, it's just time to chuck it. It's debris, it's rubbish, as he says they had here. So in verse 11 again, he lovingly refers to them as his sons. And he says, do not be negligent now. Now this is the first point that he makes that's important for us to note, negligence. To be negligent is to neglect something. It means you don't do something that you're supposed to do. And generally, when our life gets full of rubbish, it's not because, oh, we're intentionally doing that. Oh, we have our days when we go shopping or whatever. But usually, it's like everything I just threw in that bag, I don't, as far as I know, I don't think I bought any of that stuff. It just kind of happens. Where does it come from? If I bought it, it certainly, I don't know why, but you collect it. And the problem with the house of the Lord then is the problem of our lives today. Because we just don't clean, because we just neglect, we allow it to happen. It happens to us. And instead of life being something that we take a hold of and live intentionally, our life becomes something of which we are a victim. It just kind of happened that way. I don't know where it came from. And if we neglect to remove things from our lives, then we will eventually fill our lives. It's a part of human nature since the fall. I believe it's a part of our sinful nature that we always want to fill everything up. And that's what will happen if we're negligent, if we're neglectful. But he goes on to say, don't be negligent, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before him. This is important for us to understand as well. If neglect is what causes us to get overcrowded, overloaded down, overcommitted, then it all has to start. The move toward doing it right starts with God's choice of us. He has chosen you and he's chosen me. Now, I'm not going to get off on a whole sermon about God's choice of us. I'm just going to say he did choose you. And when the Bible says that he chose you, it always emphasizes he chose you for a reason. That big word that we're afraid of, predestination, he says, for those he foreknew, them he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, Jesus. He chose you with an end in mind. He chose you with a purpose. He picked you and he said, here's what I want to do in you. And so because we're chosen of him, and because that choice is involved with the end that he wants to accomplish in our lives, we need to recognize and understand that anything that doesn't conform to his choice for us might be in the way, because he chose you. You belong to him. It's, as in their case, it's God's life. It's his house. It's his stuff. And he has a purpose, and so often all that we do and what we take on just detracts from that purpose of God in our lives. And so he says, the Lord has chosen you to stand before him. That word for stand doesn't just mean to be on 2 feet as opposed to sitting. The word stand here is a word that, well, it was used in combat for being in a solid stance. It was used in terms of standing at attention, waiting for orders. A good way to translate it for us is he's saying, take a stand. Stand up. In other words, don't be wishy-washy. Don't go, well, maybe I'll do this, and maybe I'll do that, and maybe it's this, and maybe it's that. God's going, would you just, look, I chose you. Now take a stand. Sometimes that stance is a stance of faith. Sometimes we're feeling like, I don't know if I want to do this or that. And God would say, take a stand. Make a decision. Do what you're going to do. Step out in faith. Commit yourself. These are all other ways of saying it. See, often we think, well, you know, that'll come down the road. The next thing that he talks about is serving God. And sometimes we think, you know, I'm going to serve God until he shows me where to take a stand. Sometimes God's not going to release you for service until you've learned to stand up and be strong, until you've learned to show some faith, until you've shown that you're willing to take a chance, to step out, to stand up, to say, here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I believe God's showing me to do, and I'm going for it. I've decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow, no turning back. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to take a stand for God. Now, in each of our lives, this probably means something different. But I suspect if you listen to the Holy Spirit talking to you right now, that for each of us, there's an area of our lives where God has been saying, take a stand. Maybe it's speaking up to someone that you've wanted to talk to. Maybe it's simply getting rid of something that you know you don't really need. You got into it and you don't know how to get out of it. Maybe it's making a decision for your life that says, this has got to go. It may not be just something that's really bad. It could be some really cool stuff. Because we don't want to just have in our lives all good things. We can fill our lives so full of good things that there's no life left. It chokes the life right out of us. It's not just about getting rid of bad things. It's about the hard part, getting rid of good things. Good things that don't fit with the call of God in our lives. And maybe you've been waffling. Maybe you've been kind of wishy-washy. Maybe you've been wanting to do something, to say something, and you just haven't brought yourself to do it. God would say, I chose you. Now stand up. Take a stance. Even if it's scary, even if it's dark, you're sitting there going, do I stand or do I run? He's going, don't run. You stand. You commit yourself. Know what you stand for and stand for it. Do it. Accept it as being, this is God's plan for my life. And right now, as you're, you know, you can always try to get more in order to feel fulfilled, or you can decide to, as Paul said, I figured out the secret to contentment. Be content where I am. So where are you right now? Who are you? What are you doing right now? Accept that. Don't live for something else. Don't wish for a change. Accept who you are and where you are right now and say, this is where I make my stand. This is who I am and this is what I'm going to do. Again, I don't know what areas God is speaking to you, but I know he's speaking to you. And there's an area of your life, I guarantee it, where God has been wanting you to make a stand, to commit yourself, and you've been afraid to, or too busy to, or just haven't brought yourself to it, or you don't think it's a big enough emergency. Make a stand. Stand up. That's what he chose you to do.
Well, maybe the Lord has identified something in your life that needs to go. Like Hezekiah, you can experience a fresh start and some spring cleaning. Pastor Dave Roth has one final point of application to share with us. We'll have that for you in just a minute here on The Balanced Word. These programs are available by podcast at thebalancedword.com. Again, thebalancedword.com. We'd also like to offer you Pastor Dave's Through the Bible series on a USB thumb drive for a gift of $20 or more. Go through the Bible with Dave by ordering this special series today. Call 949-362-7475 or go to thebalancedword.com. Your gifts help to make these shows possible on stations like this one all across the nation. So thank you for standing with us with either a one-time gift or ongoing monthly support. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com. Or again, call 949-362-7475. Have you seen Pastor Dave's one-minute messages? Watch and listen to those at thebalancedword.com and even join our mailing list so you can have them delivered to you each day. You can also watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. We'd love to have you join us for a Sunday service at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our service times on Sunday morning are now at 8 and 10. Directions and more information about the church can be found online at ccpacifichills.org. And you can watch our live stream there too, ccpacifichills.org. If we can pray for you in any way, we ask that you contact us through thebalancedword.com or call us at 949-362-7475. Let's turn back to 2 Chronicles chapter 29 now for some more spring cleaning.
And then he goes on to say, he's chosen you to stand before him and to serve him. Serving him. See, God chose you to actually do something for him. Now, often we think of serving God as being, oh, that means being a minister. Or that means being involved in something for the church. And it very well may, and those are things to consider. But God wants you to serve him in everything that you're doing. And it might just be that you've been working your job and not liking it and grumbling about it. And God gave you that job because he wanted you to have an opportunity to share with people who are lost. And that opportunity is that job. You thought you were working for your creepy boss, and really you were supposed to be working for God and doing what he wanted you to do. And he's going, I put you there. Will you serve me? Oh, I know some people who own businesses, and often they get to a point in their life and they go, is this all it's about? Maybe I'll just retire and serve God. Well, that's great if that's what God calls you to do, but do you understand you can serve God while you're owning a business? Do you understand you can serve God by providing employment for people so they can put food on their kids' table? I mean, that's a ministry too. But the heart comes down to, am I doing it as a service to God, or am I just doing it to get for me? Serving God, it's what everything in our life should be about. Now, it's important for us to hear from God how he wants us to serve. And here's where we begin to apply this in terms of some hints as to what we ought to get rid of. In fact, it starts back in a way with standing. Ask yourself, what keeps me from taking a stand? What keeps me from being committed? And write down some of those things on your list, and they might be things that God wants to get out of your life. And then when it comes to serving God, You go, I want to serve God, but I'm just so busy. I want to serve God, but I don't know if I can do that or this or the other thing. What keeps you from doing that? God says, I want you to serve me. That's why I chose you.
We've been saved to serve. And so make that the aim of your life. And if need be, clear some things out of your life to make that happen. Tomorrow on The Balanced Word, we'll do some more healthy introspection and spring cleaning with Pastor Dave Rolfe. We'll see you then. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands. And yeah.